were you expecting? Wonder Woman? Honey, I'm Wonder Woman all the other days of the year. Please. This is about freedom to be whole, right? This month is all about the freedom to be whole, and today's talk is limitless. And Mario is really the epitome of limitless, isn't he? Yeah. Mario does everything. Mario does it all. I got a whole bunch of stuff here that you know that Mario does. Oh, wait a minute. Wait till you see this one. This is just too cool. Okay, so Mario, he plays golf, right? Whoops, come back here. Little Tiger Woods action. Eh, whatever. Four. I know, I'm not that really good at that one. Mario plays baseball. I gotta choke up a little on the bat or else it never works. Yay! All right, what else does Mario do? Mario, oh, here's my favorite. This is the one. Much better at this one. Mario plays tennis. What else does he do? There's a little of this happening. I know he played this a lot, right? Yay! Okay, all right. And there's a little football. Remember, he was in the Olympics too, wasn't he? I think he was in the Olympics. Mario plays a little frisbee. Woohoo! And wait, and here it is. This is the most famous Mario at all, right? Mario Kart. Mario Kart. The most famous game I think Mario was in. It's got its own franchise. Mario did it all. Here's a little factoid for you. Just in case you didn't know anything about Mario. Mario is introduced by Nintendo. It's a video game. And he was introduced in 1981. Yeah, in the Donkey Kong game. He appeared in over 200 video games. I know, right? It's Mario and Super Mario and Mario and Luigi. His brother is Luigi, of course. And when my kids were little, there was a computer game called Mario Teaches Typing. It was fabulous. They learned how to type from it. There's a story where when Mario was originally invented and brought into the video game series, the Nintendo video game series, he did not have a name. And then they taught the character to jump. Right, over the mushrooms or whatever, and they were going to call him Jumpman. And then the owners of the Nintendo series decided they would call him Mr. Video, and that would be his name, Mr. Video, forever and always. And then when Nintendo came to the United States and they had a big warehouse that they were behind on the rent in, the landlord, who was not happy at all, the landlord, Mario Segale, was very unhappy with the Nintendo company, and there was lots of strong words back and forth, and they said that they would get their money to him, and they did, and they named the character Mario, and he's been Mario ever since. You know what Mario's last name is? Anybody? Mario. Honest to God, his name is Mario Mario, which means Luigi's name is Luigi Mario, because they're brothers, right? Okay, there's your little factoids for Mario. But here's the thing. Mario plays tennis. Well, you saw it, but not so well. Mario plays golf, even worse. Mario plays baseball. You saw that, too. Mario plays football. He plays frisbee. Mario Olympics. Mario did archery, right? Mario did volleyball, basketball. I don't know how to do basketball, but basketball. He does it all. He does it all. He is the very essence of limitless. He can do everything, except turn a page. Can't turn the page. Anyway, nothing stops Mario from being in a new sport, trying a new thing, doing something different, right? And if a short, fat Italian plumber can do anything, what's stopping you? Ernest Holmes said this. He said, out of the potential, which means the infinite and limitless and boundless possibilities of a principle which has all possibility within it, whenever a demand is made upon it, it knows the answer. That is amazing stuff. That's limitless. That means we are limitless. You know, there was a sociology experiment done a while back where they had asked 50 children and 50 adults this question: if you could change one thing about your body, what would it be? And without hesitation, the adults had all the answers, right? They chose a flaw in their body that they could change, right? Oh, get rid of the love handles. Be taller, be thinner, take away the puffiness in my face, give myself a better jawline. So, you know, whatever, more hair on your head, not your ears, you know? But after, you know, and they knew exactly what they wanted to change. And then they asked the kids. And the kids couldn't think of a thing that they wanted to change about their bodies, because they all loved their bodies. And then after a while, they started thinking about it, and then they finally started coming up with things. One little boy said, I want legs like a cheetah so I can run really fast, right? Some girl said, I want a mermaid's tail. Another girl said, ooh, I want a mouth like a shark, ha, you know, like Jaws, okay? Someone else said, I want to sprout big wings in my back so I can fly over the city. Not realistic, logical answers. This was flights of fancy. This was limitless thinking. This was limitless thinking. No boundaries, no boxes, just wild imaginings, right? No wrong answers. Nothing too extreme, nothing too irrational. Just limitless thinking. And then we think as we get older, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm not strong enough, or I'm not tall enough, or, you know, fill in the blank with your own logical excuse, because you know you have one. You have a logical, realistic excuse why you're not living the life of your dreams. You know you have one. Here's a good one. I don't want to appear silly. I don't want to embarrass myself. You know what? That ship has sailed. A little too late for that one now, I gotta tell you. Okay. And what happens is we come to the point where it's like, I've got nothing to protect myself from. So who am I gonna feel silly in front of? Everybody else feels silly in front of me. What difference does it make? We've all been there. We've all made fools of ourselves. And we all lived, right? We all lived. Didn't kill any of us. The biggest regrets that we have are the things we didn't try, right? The things we didn't try. The biggest regrets that we will have in our lives are the risks we did not take, not the times we took the risk and we failed, or we succeeded, right? Ernest Holmes said this about limitless in his Asilomar talk in 58. He said, our subject, you gotta love this. He said, our subject is the limited, is the limitless as limited. But the limitless is not limited in what looks like limited. This statement is terrifically profound or very silly. That's the quote. He knew it. It sounded really odd, but we know what he's talking about, don't we? Principle is limitless. Principle is unbound. What is that quote we say? Principle is not bound by precedent, right? Precedent. Precedent means anything that came before it. Principle is not bound by anything that comes before it. Just because you've had an experience of failure doesn't mean it will always and forever be that way. We know principle is not bound by anything. Principle itself is limitless. It demonstrates limited by our use of it. We put the brakes on spirit. Spirit, unbound and unlimited, is free to manifest anything we put into it, as long as it does not violate natural or spiritual law, right? Remember, Ernest Holmes, wonderful, that wonderful book that he read as a child, his mother gave them, was it Spiritual Laws in the Natural World? Natural Laws in the Spiritual World? One or the other. Henry Drummond's book. And he loved it, and he resonated with it, right? As long as it does not violate natural or spiritual law. So what do we mean by that? Well, I could stand here today and have all of us pray all together to suspend the law of gravity. Any one of us going to float up to the ceiling? Any one of us? No, not going to happen. When the physical universe came into being, when thought created this physical outpicturing, the universe, right, through creative mind, through universal intelligence, which is consistently now, still and constantly creating, when it thinks things into being, when it thought the universe into being, it came into being with certain physical attributes, spiritual and natural laws. I'm losing my stash. Oh, well, I'll have to put it here. Good, now you can take me seriously, right? Okay, whatever. Okay, so the universe comes into being, and it comes into being with certain physical and natural laws that we have to align with in order to demonstrate. Now it's up to us to start stretching those laws, isn't it? We can do that. We know the law of gravity cannot be violated, but we learned we can work in alignment with it, right? Along with other laws, and we can fly an airplane. Right? We learned how to do it. We learned how to. We didn't violate the law of gravity. We aligned with it and other laws. We sent a rocket to the moon and things in outer space. There's all kinds of junk floating around out there, right? Satellites and things. Newton's principle of mathematics. We know there are four major forces acting on an aircraft, right? Weight, lift, thrust, and drag. We work with them. We aligned with them. We overcome gravity temporarily. You know, we actually align with it is more like it. And we learned flight. Now, that was a law that we could not fly. We couldn't get off the ground. 1895, Lord Kelvin, the president of the Royal Society, said, heavier-than-air flying machines are impossible. Here we are. Here we are throughout history. We have observed natural laws. We've worked within them to overcome them, not really actually overcome them, but to align with them for our own benefit. We were able to do that. I'm going to take this one off too. I'll never be able to work this. Okay, there we go. So we learned to align with them. We didn't violate the law. We didn't get rid of the law. The law is the law. All we did was we aligned with it in a new and unique and creative way. And we flew. Dr. Lee DeForest, he was considered the father of radio. He said this, he said, man will never reach the moon, regardless of all future scientific advances. Except we did, right? Except we did, because we have limitless thinking. We think outside the box. There is no box. We threw the box away. We think in a limitless way. This is being limitless. We see a law, a natural law. It's not going to go away. Gravity's not going to go away. We learn how to align with it. We learned how to use it to our advantage. All those things we told were impossible. Humans were told a whole bunch of things are impossible we wound up doing. In Popular Mechanics in 1949, they said computers in the future will weigh an average of 1.5 tons. I love it. I love it. There was an internal memo in Western Union in 1876. And it said this quote-unquote telephone thing has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device of it is inherently of no value to us. Right? Now, we all carry one around in our pockets. Spencer Silver worked on a unique project, and he said, if I had thought about it, I would not have even done the experiment. The literature was full of examples that said you cannot do this. But he did his experiment anyway, and he invented the post-it note, that funky little adhesive that we use all the time. And that was impossible. The professor of electrical engineering, New York University, okay, said this, the supercomputer is technologically impossible. It would take all the water that flows over Niagara Falls to heat to cool the heat generated by the number of vacuum tubes you'd need. You gotta love it, right? Vacuum tubes. Ah. And Pierre Pache, the professor of physiology at Toulouse, said, Louis Pasteur's theory of germs is ridiculous fiction. Ridiculous fiction. That was in 1872. And finally, this one I just love. Charles Duell, he was the commissioner of the U.S. Patent Office in 1899. He said, "Everything that can be invented has been invented." Gotta love it. We are limited only by our belief we are limited. That's it. Ernest Holmes said, the infinite then, which is limitless, is also called what we call finite, which appears to be limited. But the finite, which appears to be limited, is merely the infinite projecting itself into whatever it is, like a blade of grass. There is nothing that has to be denied in the universe of reality. So the limitless throws itself into a creation. And that creation can be looked at as limited. But the principle behind it, the principle that made it so, the principle that infused itself into it, is limitless. We are free to be whole. We are free to think outside the box. We are free to throw the box away. There is no box. We are free to align with these natural and spiritual laws and overcome them in new and creative ways. We are free to be limitless or limited. It is through the mind of the human. And I gotta tell you, we're better off when we choose limitless. We are better off when we choose limitless. We are better off when we envision the highest and best for ourselves and others. Right? The highest and best for ourselves and others. Emma Curtis Hopkins said this. I want to get this right. Always high vision stirs right speech, silent or audible. And right speech, silent or audible, stirs right convictions. And the accomplishment of the seemingly impossible is the outcome. That's what we're here to do. We're here to live that life, live that expansive life of spirit and form, live the limitless. Nothing can stop us except the idea that we're not worthy, or we're not good enough, or we're not smart enough, or we're not young enough, or any of those self-doubts or fears or false beliefs in our mind that believes that our mind is not connected with universal intelligence of spirit. Remember the old story in the Bible? I'm going biblical on your ass. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going biblical on you now. Do you remember Nehemiah? Remember the story of Nehemiah in the Bible? He had a really cushy job at the palace. He did, really. Yeah, he was playing the palace. No, he had this really cushy job. He was a wine taster. He was a wine taster. I kid you not. He was a wine taster, and he was called. He was called to rebuild Jerusalem in the Old Testament. He heard that the walls of Jerusalem had been torn down, and he decided not to sit idly by, but to get off his cushy job and to go rebuild it. And as soon as he got to work rebuilding the temple surroundings, rebuilding Jerusalem, he was like, you know, shovel and trowel and cement in one hand and a sword in the other, because he was trying to protect himself. As soon as he got to work reinforcing and protecting the place by invasion, he got called out by the opposing group. He got messages sent to him. And the word that they sent to him was, "Come on down, let's talk. Let's talk about this rebuilding thing you're thinking of doing." And you know what his reply was? He said, "I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Because I thought to myself, why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you?" So back and forth this went. Four times they sent messages. Come down. We'll talk. We'll go into town. We'll have a couple of drinks, yada, yada. You know, we'll talk about this whole rebuilding thing. And he said, No, I have a great work to do. You can't stop me from doing this." It got to the point where they started threatening him. They're saying prophets in town are saying that you're destroying the place. You know, you better go hide out someplace in town. And he would not be swayed. "I am doing a great work. I will not come down." That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing with your life, with your choices. I am doing a great work. You are doing a great work. Whatever it is you're doing in your life right now, that is your great work. Ernest Holmes said this, every day I must believe I am receiving divine guidance and inspiration. And every day I must declare that guidance, inspiration, and power are mine. I must learn to believe I exist at the very threshold of limitless opportunity. I must accept myself as the desire, the law to accept me. I must realize there is nothing in the universe opposed to me other than my own doubt or any desire I might have to use the law destructively. Since I have no desire to use the law destructively, I know there is nothing that is against me. There is nothing that can hinder, impede, or impair my progress. That's what Ernest Holmes said. We are each doing our own great work. And we will not come down. And you know what they meant by come down, don't you? Come down and mess with the level of conditions. We're not going to come down and mess with the level of conditions anymore. We're done with that, aren't we? We're going to stay in first cause, aren't we? We're going to know the truth. We're going to do the impossible because nothing is impossible for spirit. Spirit whose principle is limitless and is only finds limitation through our own mind. So it's up to us, Ernest Holmes said, to sit in our meditation practice and expand our mind and to make the impossible possible for us. That's our job. That's what we're here to do this mighty work. We are here to do this mighty work. Each day, may we draw a greater and greater experience from divine mind. Each day, may we know a greater good for ourselves and others. And others, there's only one of us. Core principle number one, God is all there is. Each day, may we expand and demonstrate a good beyond anything that we have previously experienced. We are limitless. We are limitless. Here and now. Thank you so much. Take care, please.
Patty just said, don't play with my balls.